Blog Talk Radio.
Preview.
Boy, we just got the show started in time before I missed my window. Hello from Kentucky.
Hello from Vermont.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing pretty good. I got another nice ride here from Tina today. So we're in the drug car on the way to the paper mill.
Well, wonderful. You're blessed to have her.
Oh, blessed. She would like hearing that word. I'm blessed to have her.
Yes, you are. So how's
she
your back?
She liked that a lot. So I didn't do any homework again today. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. How's your back?
My back is a little bit better again. I continue to take it easy, and we're slowly getting better. I've never had a situation like this. The other time I heard it 3 years ago, it was more acute. It was 3 or 4 days and then better. But this has been a little bit different deal. So another prisoner, another guard implicated in the great New York murderer prison escape, right?
Yes.
He
took things to them so that in return for paintings that they did.
Are you kidding me? He gave murderers tools to get their painting?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what he's accused of. And I didn't know this, but some of the prisoners could even cook in their cells.
Wow.
Of course, they have TV, and they have an exercise room,
yep,
and all the necessities of life,
yep,
that they don't have to pay for.
Yep.
I'm baffled.
Yep. Well, the story I heard quickly was he hid the power tools inside frozen food. Is that right?
It was inside Hamburg.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they said the woman did that. She put the tools inside Hamburg, ground beef, and he took more to them. I'm not sure just what he took to them, but he did it in return for their paintings.
Yeah, I think my asking price might be a little bit higher.
Yes. Well, they said now that, he's denying. He had a 20-some... Your employment there.
I can't believe someone would help a murderer escape. I couldn't live with myself just because you might kill somebody.
Well, that's true. But you got to remember, this woman isn't working with a full deck.
That you would say she's empty.
She's running on empty. By the way, how's your gas situation today?
Quarter of a tank.
Oh,
gosh, you're loaded.
Yeah, loaded. Maybe she learned her lesson. She tried to ditch me today, Mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she wanted Kathy to give me a ride.
Well, maybe she had something else on.
I don't think that's very nice.
Oh, boy.
I'm seeing all the teachers hard at work walking this morning because they're all on their 2 month vacation.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's funny how you go by the walking path during the work months of September through May, and there's no one there. And as soon as school is over, you see 15, 20 people just out and about walking every morning.
Oh, how nice.
No one do themselves any favor in Bob Butterfield's book. Maybe how the good teachers look bad, the ones that don't work hard in the summer.
Well, you know, Jane was saying that, you know, she really wanted to be a teacher, but she was talked out of it. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry if I did. And she said, well, it wasn't so much you, but she had the teachers in school, guidance instructors. Did you ever find that they gave you bad advice?
I found they gave me no advice.
Oh, okay. Well, at that time, there was a surplus of teachers.
Yep.
So Jane chose the business. And actually, you know, she was probably lucky she did.
Yeah. Well, I think guidance counselor is just one of those jobs now that all they deal with is problems. They don't actually help kids do anything.
No, they don't.
They just deal with problems and reports that they have to send into the government, that the government collects and does nothing with.
Oh, I know.
Hey, Bernie Sanders was featured on National Public Radio this morning.
Oh, was he really?
I did an interview with him, and he was really funny.
Oh, really?
Now, they tried to start giving him a hard time on gun control a little bit, you know, because, you know, Bernie is a little different than most folks. He goes, well, and he wouldn't let the reporter get, you know, reporters are always pushy.
Uh-huh.
It was surprising to see Bernie be assertive and say, no, I'm going to talk. And he said, well,
really?
You know, I come from a state, I don't know if you know, but in Vermont, there's a lot of people who hunt and own guns. And he said, gun control issues in Vermont are substantially different than gun controls in Chicago or Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
The guns are used for different things there. It's so funny.
Oh, for heavens. Well, boy, that was smart thinking.
It was good. Well, it's kind of funny because he's kind of saying, are you like as stupid as you're sounding that you think gun control issues in states like New Hampshire and Vermont are equal to what's going on in California?
Oh, for gosh. Well, that's true.
Yeah, and he said, you know, you've got to adapt these laws to what's going on. And the other thing, they were talking about whether or not people wanted to have a debate with Clinton and stuff like that. And he said, well, anybody who wants to vote for a leader and doesn't want to have a debate, he goes, that's just ludicrous. He said, of course he's going to have a debate. He said, how else do you know who you're supposed to vote for?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he comes across really good. I think he's great. And the other thing he talks about as far as, like, military intervention and Obama and, you know, conflicts in Syria and sending troops. And he goes, well, it's pretty disturbing that every time Congress wants to send troops to war, they talk about the potential they're going to lose, you know, 10 or 15, 20,000 men and women could die in this conflict, and that's an acceptable risk for what's going on. He said, but people don't also talk about there's 100,000 that are going to come back wounded, they're going to need counseling, they're going to have trouble. He said, you're talking six figures of people get hurt in those type of conflicts. It's not who just dies there. It's a good point.
A very good point. And what is it going to cost the government, the rest of these fellas' lives,
sure,
that are wounded,
yep,
and have to be on pensions.
Yep, it's a big deal. I agree. So, anyway, he came across really good. I'm looking forward to his debates with Hillary.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know why, but I just am kind of thinking she's not good.
You're thinking what?
I'm disappointed in her. I think she's kind of gone the loop. I'm tired of her.
She faces a very, very hard struggle, in my opinion. I think she's got a lot of support, but the problem is
She's got a lot of support. She's got lots and lots of money.
Exactly. And I think Bernie is going to resonate is the common man and workers. The only chance she has of beating Bush is that Bernie is her vice president.
Yeah, well, you know Bernie's not going to do that. I don't think he's going to do that.
I'm not sure he'd do it.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? But at any rate, I think we're going to have 90 degrees down here. We have a 14% chance of showers at 2 o'clock, and that's it.
Oh, wow. Well, Ginger, Luna has had another seizure out there.
Who did?
Her dog.
Oh, dear, you worried about that.
I did. And she put on Facebook that, you know, she's worried about her little dog. Well, I am too. It's really, you know, that's very troublesome. Scarlett was a much younger dog when you moved to Kentucky.
Yes, and she was moving home.
That's right.
She's happy, I think.
Oh, I think Scarlett's done well.
Yep.
I know at first she tried to hide and all that stuff, but
yep.
I think she's, I think as long as you guys are with her, you know, she was okay. But gosh darn it, you know, this was such a radical change for Luna.
Yep. Well, I think the young couple there was probably looking at careers and cost of living and lifestyle, and they really, that area in Las Vegas probably resonated with them.
I think so. And of course, you know, they were looking at, well, I think they just thought that Luna would be fine
yep.
as long as she was with them. Well, she may very well be, but
yeah.
I do think that a 13-year-old dog, this is kind of tough.
Yes, I agree.
But anyway, I did look up another president, and son of a gun, I was reading it, and I realized that I've done this before.
Well, that's okay. I do that, too, all the time. You and I have covered so much turf, Mom. We've got to redo something.
Oh, gosh. I think I've got I'm on my fifth book.
There you go.
Anyway, it was James Polk, and I realized that I had done it before because when he was like 12 years old, he had surgery in Daneville, Kentucky.
Your kid. Oh, that's right. I remember talking about that.
Yes. He had a urinary tract stone,
yep.
and they had to remove it.
Yep.
And they did it with no anesthesia. They just gave him a little brandy, but it was successful.
That's amazing.
And he was the first of 10 children born in North Carolina, but he was very ill as a child. But once they removed this stone, he was he did well, but he never had children.
Wow.
And but he did quite a bit. He was they said he was the last strong president before the Civil War.
The last what president?
Strong one. He was the last strong because after him came Zachary Taylor and then Fillmore and Pierce and Buchanan.
And they weren't strong?
No, they were more sympathetic to the South.
Oh, I was thinking physical. I'm like, oh, this is a weird characterization.
I know. But anyway, he did a lot as president. He said he'd only serve one term, and he did. But he oversaw the construction of the Naval Academy, the Smithsonian, the Washington Monument, and also the very first postage stamp.
Wow.
He was, as I said, he was the last strong president before the Civil War. And he wanted the Oregon Territory. He wanted land, and he did not want war. But anyway, he pulled some strings and got that from the British. And I thought, well, nuts, I didn't find out much about his kids because he didn't have any. But so I went to Zachary Taylor, and he was in the White House for 16 months. And this is strange because we know that three other presidents died on the 4th of July. I know there was Adams and Jefferson. There was one other one, too. But anyway, are you there?
Yep, I'm listening.
Okay. He went to a 4th of July celebration, and it was very warm, and he ate a lot of cherries and ice milk. That's what they called buttermilk. He became very sick, and they thought that he contacted malaria. And not malaria, that other disease that they used to get going west. But anyway, he died. He died on the 9th. He died 5 days after he ate all the cherries and the buttermilk. And he did own slaves, but he opposed it. But he didn't do anything about it. He was President James Madison's second cousin.
Yep.
And then I realized I've done this before, too, because he had four children, and his daughter, Sarah, married Jefferson Davis.
Yep.
They didn't want her to marry him, and she married him without her parents there.
Yep.
His daughter, Mary, acted as first lady because his wife was deceased. So that's it.
You're good, Mom. You're doing good on these presidents.
Well, some are more interesting than others. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's pretty funny that he ate cherries and buttermilk. I was telling Jane, when we went out to visit you in Tacoma, you had a cherry tree, and I went out and I ate them like crazy. And then I decided I'd make a fruit salad for dinner, and I cut them up, and they were filled with worms.
Yeah, that was a bad day, right?
Well, I'm still here, so.
Yep.
But I thought of it because Jenny posted that there's a cherry tree in her backyard, and this is the first year that they have the cherries have come out, and that they're all eating them.
Yep.
And I thought, geez, I hope she cuts them